the prosperity gospel, godliness, Islam, abortion, religious truth claims, scientism, the centrality of justification. You can meet and hear some of your favorite guests teach on these topics at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. Learn more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be spending some time talking about the ministry to the deaf. I was formulating questions for this interview, thinking to myself, there's a no small irony here. The medium by which you right now are hearing this is, in many ways, at least at this point, inaccessible to those who cannot hear. And it's not just this medium, but so many others. We tend to think of deafness as simply, well, walking through life without being able to hear you, sign language. You can still see things, can't you? You can still feel things. But there are some problems that I think those of us who can hear never consider. We'll be talking about some of those. And what do we do with that passage from the apostle where he says faith comes by hearing? What about those who simply cannot hear? Joining us to talk about ministry to the deaf, Pastor Thomas Dunseth. He's director of the Milneck Foundation for Deaf Ministry based in Milneck, New York. Pastor Dunseth, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Nice to be here. Thank you.
I think maybe the most obvious question someone, a hearing person, might ask about deaf ministry is regarding the Apostle Paul's famous words, faith comes by hearing. And they might sheepishly say, well, what about those who cannot hear?
It's interesting how often that question does come up. In fact, I've been working in deaf ministry since 1993. So it was early on when I met a pastor, a colleague of mine, who said to me, well, why are you waste your time working with deaf people, considering, according to St. Paul in Romans 10, they can't be saved? I was shocked to hear such a reply. And, you know, Todd, I do think that, and this was a pastor who was well-read and well-studied, so I wanted to find out where that came from. But, you know, there is a quote, St. Augustine is quoted saying in the letter to the Pelagian Julian of the Clannam that deafness is certainly a hindrance to faith itself. As the Apostle Paul says, faith is from hearing. And, you know, assuming that what he meant is that, you know, unless the word of God is received by the ear, and then faith created by the word that way, then it's not possible for deaf to be saved. Or could he have been meaning that, boy, you know, working with deaf people is really hard? It's a great challenge, especially when, you know, at that time there was not a known codified sign language to teach and to educate deaf people. I'm not sure. However, I think we understand as Lutheran Christians that all people are deaf when it comes to the ability of hearing the Word of God and believing it, and that the objective Word of God, which is itself able to raise the dead, to make the deaf person hear, to create faith in anyone who has access to this word, whether it's spoken, written, or signed. And the argument from experience, too, I think anyone who has worked in deaf ministry has known many people who have come to faith through the written and the signed word of God, and then is able then to confess their faith in the Savior Jesus Christ as a result.
What about deaf ministry is the same, and what is different from ministry to those who hear?
Well, I think for this question, Todd, and for the rest of the questions that I will be asked in this interview, we have to establish the difference between those deaf people whose first language is sign language, whether it's American sign or Australian sign or Chinese sign, and then those people who have become deaf later in life, or are hard of hearing, so they're able to receive some sound through their ears, but really not able to communicate well by listening and speaking. When to answer that question, then what is? I would have to say it's both some common elements as well as some different elements and different kinds of challenges in deaf ministry. What's the same is that deaf people also need salvation in Jesus Christ, and so the church makes use of God's word and sacraments to do this. That's the same. What is different is that deaf people, meaning those who use sign language to experience the world, they do so visually. And so everything from teaching God's word to the, and I'll put this in parentheses, the choreography of the divine service, how it is presented is a little bit different in whether it's a deaf congregation or an interpreted ministry.
So in that sense, it sounds like the similarities, at least to your way of thinking, are far outweigh the differences. Is that accurate?
I would think so. Once you understand deaf people, how they learn, and how they can actually access visually something, whether it's in a room or how they think visually, actually, for education. Once you understand those things, then you are able then to, you know, with God's help, by His grace, to apply those, what you've learned, and then to care for, instruct, and take care of them.
I'm intrigued by a distinction you made there between people whose primary language, their language from that they've only known, is some form of sign, and then that's, I think you just said the word, they think visually. When I think, words run through my head. I can almost hear them, which I imagine must be a very different experience than that of a person who has never heard. How do we wrap our head around that?
It takes years, Todd. It's been about, this is my 25th year in deaf ministry, and I'm still learning. Still learning because I think that way, too. So as much as I do work in sign languages, just that whole aspect of, okay, so a deaf person is the way that they see this picture, the way that they understand this text from Scripture will be visually. So they're going to be picking up on things that can be seen immediately as opposed to things that have heard like we would do it. As you work with them and teach and communicate and serve the deaf people and or serve together with them as fellow church workers, then you're really able to help to make that bridge, I think.
Talk about some of the other challenges that people who hear may not even consider when it comes to both life without the ability to hear and ministry to those who are deaf.
Well, I think one of the greatest challenges for deaf people, whether they are basically hearing people, and when we say hearing, meaning those who have learned language through their ears as children, grew up in the education, you know, they've studied, and deaf people do, I mean, they study English as well, though it's more as a second language, I think, educationally today than historically. And so to be able to have, for deaf people, to have access to goods and services is a great challenge. Think about that. If you have a doctor appointment, a dentist appointment, a meeting with a lawyer or your pastor or a counselor, you have to get an interpreter. And so it's completely working with a second language. And I think when the church thinks about how to serve deaf people or deaf people whose primary language, first language is sign language, we need to understand that they need access to what we provide in the church as well. And so there's many practical ways, and I think we'll get into that a little bit later, about how a church can help to make not only the Word of God and the divine service, but just walking into the church building practical and accessible for a deaf person. So certainly, being able to access what we take for granted every day, information and services, you know, they just can't do it without a lot more planning and steps, I would say, than just, you know, getting in your car and going to your doctor or making an appointment with at the dentist.
We're talking with Pastor Thomas Dunseth about ministry to the deaf. He's director of Mill Neck Foundation for Deaf Ministry. When we come back, sign language, its challenges and its advantages in communicating the Word of God.
People have confused pietism with piety and dumped piety along with dumping pietism. It's resulted in a real confusion about this.
Pastor Will Wheaton, on his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Making the Case for Godliness.
Any thought about dealing with how we actually live our lives is regarded as being, that's law. That's what we've been freed from. We don't have to think about that. Well, no. The whole point is, what does it look like to live with Jesus Christ having been crucified and raised from the dead?
You can meet and hear Pastor Wheaton Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385.
Truth-centered mission outreach. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on your family, your church, or your world, but didn't know where to begin? Concordia University, Wisconsin has an innovative, free online course for you entitled Philosophy Kata Christan. These 6 engaging video sessions are taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, lecturer, author, and pastor, Dr. Gregory Scholes. Learn more by clicking the Kata Christan logo at issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
That's the Gloucester Cathedral Choir with the hymn, Now Thank We All Our God, playing right now at our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Here's what Leandro from Brazil recently wrote about LPR. He says, I do not speak English. I'm using Google Translator. I discovered Lutheranism a short time ago. I heard your radio on TuneIn. I love to listen to your radio. You play sacred music for real. You can listen as well, absolutely free, wherever you are, whenever you want to listen, at LutheranPublicRadio.org or on the LPR mobile app. Sacred music for the world, anytime, anywhere, absolutely free. LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're talking about ministry to the deaf. Pastor Thomas Dunseth is our guest director of the Mill Neck Foundation for Deaf Ministry based in Mill Neck, New York. Pastor Dunseth, talk about the challenges and the advantages of sign language in communicating God's word. Is it a challenge or an advantage?
I think, once again, I would answer this with both. It's a challenge in that it is another language that must be learned. And it is, as we've been mentioning, it's a visual or a manual language. So it's not a language by which most of us have experience in learning languages. So it's a completely new experience. If if somebody is really good with learning, whether historical or modern languages, a sign language may not be something they're able to do at all. You have many children that grow up in deaf families where it's really a struggle with, oh, wow, we have this deaf child, and you know, their teachers are telling me that we need to learn sign language to communicate with him. Now, certainly a parent will want to do that, but if they don't have the knack for learning this visual language, it'll be quite a struggle. So there is a challenge. I think sign languages presents an advantage for communicating God's word in that it is the first language of a sizable portion of the population. It's a benefit not only to those deaf people, but also to the church to do so. Once you learn one, it's more easily picked up that you can learn another. So say, for example, your church is in Austin, Texas, and you're working there with some deaf people. There happens to be some immigrants from either Mexico or one of the Central American countries, South American, who will come in with that language. And certainly now they're in America and they'll be wanting to learn American Sign Language at some point. But if their language there is, say, Ecuadorian Sign Language, having known one, you can more quickly pick up a second sign language.
I guess that was something I was just completely unaware of, and that there was regional or national versions of sign language. Is there any attempt to try and bring it all together into one language? I would see that as an enormous advantage. If you could go to any country where any language is spoken by the hearing and communicate with the deaf with one language, that would be practically miraculous.
It would be. And, you know, it hasn't been successful, actually. There is a universal sign language that is used by many of the deaf people who do travel and teach and work internationally. And like when they get together for World Federation of the Deaf conferences, they will use that. But they'll still have the local sign languages and interpreters available as well. I think traditionally deaf people have not traveled as much. They're certainly are beginning to today. But the countries that use English, like England, Great Britain, Australia, and the U.S., have different sign languages. So it's quite amazing, but they're all very local, based on a lot of the culture and the symbols and the actually spoken language of the country, wherever you go.
How does the music of the church serve those who cannot hear?
That's one of the greatest questions, actually unanswered questions, Todd, that those folks who work with deaf churches have to deal with. Now, once again, I'll distinguish between the hard of hearing, the late deafened, those people who have learned the music and the hymnody of the church, or can hear just a little bit in some ranges. Now, those people, it's not a problem. Music will still be part of their life in some way. They'll still have those songs, you know, in their heads and in their hearts when they come into the Lord's house. For a person who is born deaf, for someone who maybe became deaf a little bit later in life, but it was not a Christian, and, you know, that would be a different situation. And really, what is the role of music in the life of a person who does not experience sound so much? Now, that's quite a question. And if hymnody is a teaching tool for the Word of God, or if it's a musical hook for remembering God's Word in a maybe easier to remember form, deaf people don't have that. And so those who use American Sign Language or whatever other sign languages. So it is possible, and I have seen attempts at making music accessible to deaf people visually. And that is really an amazing thing to see. There's a number of ways to do it. But I think I would have to say that in most congregations throughout the United States or even the world where deaf people are there, because there's an interpreter there. So this is not a deaf church situation where all the worship is done in silence. but rather it's an interpreter is interpreting what's happening during the service, then they will attempt to make the music accessible to deaf people in sign language. But that function, we're still trying to figure it out.
What does the average congregation need to know about those who cannot hear? You talked about walking in on a Sunday morning and the conduct of the divine service. Go into some of that, if you would.
I think congregations need to make their churches accessible to deaf people. And so what does that mean? Well, the first thing that you would think about is, who are the deaf people in our community or even in our church? Are they people over 65 who are losing their hearing, or veterans? You know, 60% of veterans are experiencing some kind of hearing loss. So our congregations are full of older people and veterans. So how is it that we are making the Word of God in the divine service accessible to them? And it's actually, there's great loss and sadness associated with this among these people. Now, I've seen some churches do some things by incorporating some different kinds of sound systems, which are, they can hook either a hearing aid into or a headset into. That's great. And there are, depending on your people and depending on the room and what it's like, you can do that. But as far as the signing people, that's a different matter. So most people in urban or suburban areas are living in communities where there are deaf people, though they may not know it. And I think also I have found that in my travels and meeting with different congregations, that often church members will have neighbors, colleagues, family members who are assigning deaf people. And so they are often have lots of questions of how they can share their faith in Jesus Christ with their family and friends. And so having a church that is accessible to deaf people is very important. You just think about how easy it is for hearing people to look at on the internet or in one of the old phone books, or just by knowing the lay of the land and where the churches are, walk into a church and immediately have access to whatever is there. Deaf people don't. And the only way for them to have that would be if there is an interpreter offered. And that if there's an interpreter offered, then it needs to be advertised in a way that a deaf person would know that there is an interpreter there. Now, that's only saying, talking about the divine service. What about if a deaf person were to walk off the street into your church and request to meet with a pastor, want to talk about what your church believes, if they're looking for a church, how would they communicate with the first person that they see when they walk in the door? So often in our consultation of congregations, Lutheran Friends of the Deaf out in Milnett, New York, will offer some thoughts about having a person on staff at your church, whether you have a school, whether it's a parish nurse, maybe one of the secretaries, or somebody that can be accessed quickly who can serve the deaf person who comes into your church on, say, Tuesday morning.
That's going to require a little bit of pre-planning. That's going to require maybe a church ponying up some money so that someone could not only learn sign language but remain proficient in it.
Yes. And though, if you think about it, every church or many churches who have staff members replace them from time to time because they move on. Just to be pre-planning and to be thinking about, okay, there's deaf people in my community, or our church has a deaf sign language ministry here. Maybe the next person who we bring on to our staff, we can recruit somebody who is proficient in sign language.
We're talking with Pastor Thomas Dunseth about ministry to the deaf. When we come back, the medium that we're communicating in right now, that you're listening to this show in right now, is it completely inaccessible to the deaf? We'll get Pastor Dunseth's answer to that question on the other side of the break. Here's a recent Amazon review of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May. Dirk writes, "What a great reminder of the importance of the basic teachings of Christianity. With so much watered down false teaching and heresies out there, it's refreshing to read something of value." He's talking about Echo, Unbroken Truth, Worth Repeating Again by regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fiss. You can find a link to Echo on every page of our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, and you can order Echo, Unbroken Truth, Worth Repeating Again by Pastor Jonathan Fisk, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May. We'll be right back with more Ministry to the Deaf.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
How was school today, kids?
Crazy. Hector's charioteer got hit by a stone, and his eyes fell out into the dust before him there at his feet.
Sounds like Patroclus was being hot-tempered, rude, and quarrelsome again.
He always is. Dad, what's for supper?
I don't know yet. Supper is such a problem.
If it's a problem, you can use the scientific method to figure it out.
Problem? We want supper. Hypothesis? I think Dad will make tacos.
Actually, I was thinking about spaghetti.
Tacos or spaghetti?
False dichotomy.
Is this the after-school conversation of your dreams? Registration is now open for the 2018-19 school year at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, the only classical Lutheran school in the St. Louis area.
Hey, Dad, how did my violin practice sound?
Kiddo, it sounded epic.
Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. School.stpaulhamel.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about Ministry to the Deaf. Pastor Thomas Dunseth is our guest director of Milneck Foundation for Deaf Ministry based in Milneck, New York. A little bit later, we're going to spend some time talking with... near the end of the program, we'll be talking with Manya Brashear Pashman, getting an update on the allegations of inappropriate behavior by Bill Hybels, formerly of Willow Creek Community Church. There's been some movement there, and there's also been some lack of movement. We'll see what they've discovered at the Chicago Tribune on that subject in the last half hour of the program. Pastor Dunseth, this medium which we are communicating through right now, by which our listeners are listening to us right now, the radio podcast, is it completely inaccessible to the deaf?
Well, I am aware that many radio programs do have their publications and their broadcasts available in a written form that they can read. Now, this would certainly take care of the folks who are late deafened or hard of hearing, who grew up in schools and learned English as their first language. Because of that, and because of historically that the way that education has been for deaf people in the U.S. who are born deaf and who use sign language, often their literacy level is quite a bit lower. Not all, but quite a few of them. It's quite a bit lower than what would normally be able to access, say, one of Issues Etc., one of your publications that you produce. So ideally, to have this accessible to that part of population who uses sign language, ideally the thing would be to have those podcasts signed and videoed and placed on your website, and then they would have full access to that.
So what can you tell us about the joy that you find, you said earlier, 25 years of serving the deaf with the Word of God?
Well, I could say that I guess the fields are white, but the workers are few. Deaf ministry is something that just because the population is less, but it's something that not a lot of people go into. People, unless they have had some family member or friend or have had some access to sign language in the past, don't really feel comfortable around people who are signing. And so it's not a lot that have gone into that area. I would just encourage people, if they do have any kind of interest in American Sign Language, any church members, friends, neighbors who are deaf that use sign language, to consider learning to a greater extent whatever language that they do know, consider deaf ministry as a vocation in the future. And I am aware that the seminary in the LCMS offers deaf ministry class, as well as some of the Concordia universities. And certainly for our listening audience that is outside of the LCMS, there are lots of other programs, deaf ministry at other universities throughout the country.
What can you tell us about the Milneck Foundation for Deaf Ministry?
The Milneck Foundation has been around since the early 1950s in providing deaf education with the Milneck Manor Lutheran School for the Deaf. It has an audiological department. It has adult deaf services. So we do provide interpreters and deaf adult deaf education for the New York community. But we also provide church consulting and production of deaf ministry resources for the church abroad, both in those who use American Sign Language, and we're doing some international work as well. We are certainly a resource for any congregation or deaf ministry that is needing some good, solid Lutheran resources, catechetical, as well as maybe somebody who's looking for an interpreter for their congregation or is concerned that their interpreter signs the Word of God accurately. We also have a Church Interpreter Training Institute that we run in conjunction with one of our LCMS seminaries. So we do a lot in the area of congregational support as well as in education.
Folks, you can learn more about the Milneck Foundation for Deaf Ministry under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Thomas Dunseth is director of the Milneck Foundation for Deaf Ministry based in Milneck, New York. Pastor Dunseth, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Todd. It was very nice to be with you.
When we come back, we'll go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line, that email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line for your questions and comments, 618-223-8382. Stay tuned.
The Christian faith is not boring.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk talking about his new book, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again.
The Christian faith is so stunning and radical that it's amazing to me that we have our children sitting in pews and classrooms yawning and bored with it. And all I can do is say that we've got to figure out a way to repeat this thing, to echo it again, and really reawaken our imaginations to its truth.
Learn more about Echo by Pastor Jonathan Fisk at issuesetc.org.
Imagine this. What if you planned your vacation? You picked the location based upon where you knew there was a good Lutheran church. Well, we're here to let you know that if you're planning a Southern Oregon vacation, whether you visit Crater Lake, raft the Rogue, fish for salmon, or head down to the Redwoods, there's still a place for you to receive forgiveness. Faith Lutheran Church in Rogue River, Oregon. What's a vacation without the gospel? Faith Lutheran Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. Visit faithrogueriver.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, Ad Crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift-buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.